time to be reassessing what you're doing. And reassessing what you're doing in your Christian life, reassessing what you're doing in your relationship with God. It's always good to take the opportunity to do that. And we know that there are many things which can be really strategic in our Christian life. Prayer. Pray every day. Talk to God. Reading the Word. How do you get to know God without reading His book? It's pretty important, isn't it? Worship. Spending time just worshiping Him. Put on the CD. No, not the CD. Turn on the iPod. Yes, I do have one. I'm just joking. Turn on the iPod. Do whatever you do. But hey, get into worship. Well, what I want to talk about tonight is another strategy, another thing that God talks about in His Word. I want to talk to you about mentoring, about being mentored by somebody. And you know, this is an incredibly great way of growing in God. We know this story. We've talked many times about how Elijah mentored Elisha as a prophet. We know how, for instance, Paul mentored Timothy, and there are so many other cases in the Bible where people are being discipled, where people are growing because of the impact of another person in their life, right? Well, you know, there is another one. Because I'm a girl, I chose a girl thing and I'm allowed to do that, right? Okay. But, you know, there was Mary and Elizabeth. And it said, you know, after Mary had found out she was going to have this baby, that she was going to conceive as a virgin, that she was going to bring forth a Messiah, in the Message it says this: Mary didn't waste a minute. I want you to take that in. Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and travelled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leapt. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and she sang out exuberantly, "You're so blessed among women and the babe in the womb also blessed. Why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment of the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true." Wow, that was a welcome from Elizabeth, wasn't it? Was that a welcome or was that a welcome? What a greeting, what a word of knowledge, what an affirmation and confirmation for Mary. But you know, I reckon there would have been a number of places that Mary would have been able to go to. I reckon there would have been a number of women that she could have stayed with. But she chose to go to Elizabeth, and she chose to go without wasting a minute. She chose to do it straight away. It wasn't because the pregnancy was showing that she zipped off, because it wouldn't have been until at least 3 months later. Something must have drawn her to this beautiful woman of God. And so we know that she recognized that there was something in this woman, something that drew her. She must have recognized that Elizabeth was godly, that she was wise. She must have wanted to have Elizabeth to input into her life because she knew that Elizabeth would give her thoughtful and good advice, and that it would have been very godly advice. I really believe that Elizabeth was a wonderful That's pretty straightforward. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a senior citizen. Am I a senior yet? No, not yet. But if you love the Lord and have seen him at work in your life, then God's mandate is for you to share that with someone. In Psalm 145:4, it says, one generation will commend your works to another. So mentoring is such an incredibly biblical thing to do. It happens in all walks of life, in our life as Christians. It happens, we need it in the good times as well as the bad times. It's simply sharing those been there, done that experiences, and with God's help I made it through, and so can you. God never wastes a hurt. And while tough times build our character, he often puts us alongside someone else who's going through a similar crisis so that we can encourage them. So God's word reveals this pattern for friendship that can help you release your giftings for somebody else. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. What's counsel? Counsel, hearing from others, being counseled. That doesn't mean counsel or counseling situation. It simply means getting good counsel, getting wise words, getting good advice, having someone speak into your life. With many advisors, you can have more than one mentor, by the way. You know, it's good to have a chat to a number of people if there's something coming up in your life and you just really want to talk about it. Another example of a mentoring relationship in the Word was, of course, Naomi and Ruth. It's a rich example. If you read through the book of Ruth, you'll read all about it. It's a short book in the Old Testament, but a beautiful book of how Ruth listened to her mother-in-law and took hold of the wisdom that she put into her life. And wow, what an amazing result that had for her. You know, as men and as women, we need to be mentored. You know, one of the things I really love about the network of churches that we're part of, Crosslink Christian Network, is that every pastor is expected to have, and we actually have to write them down and send it in, 3 mentors. And I meet with those ones on a reasonably regular basis. I have 3 women who really input into my life, and I meet with them a number of times during the year, and we get together and we just listen to each other. We talk spiritually, we talk about how we're going. But it's a mentoring relationship. So, what do we look for in a mentor? So, here are some tips for mentoring, and particularly tonight for being mentored. What do you look for? Okay, that's pretty important. First of all, look for someone who has a real loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you want to be getting the right stuff into your mind and heart, don't you? It's incredibly important. Someone who is obedient to what God calls them to do and can give you a godly example. I mean, honestly, do you want to be mentored by the rebellious person? It's like, no. Get mentored by somebody who knows and loves Jesus and is the godly person, who's obedient to God. You'll know who that one is. someone who can cultivate your spiritual development, someone who can help you. Now, if you're not being mentored at the moment, I know that probably quite a few of you could put up your hand and say, Joan, I know, yep, I'm getting mentored. But if you're not, I want you to be really thinking right now about who can I ask? God, who's the one? Who's the one who I could ask to mentor me? You know, someone who can help you recognize and respond to the call of God on your life. You know, whether that's in the marketplace, whether it's on mission. You know, people have got very, you know, I'm really glad today that people are seeing that we need Christians in every walk of life. We need Christians working in McDonald's. We need Christians working in the marketplace. We need Christians in industry. We need Christians everywhere. God's going to be calling you to a particular area. And he's putting you in that place so that you can be the kingdom person for that place that you're called to be in, right? Now, it doesn't matter what you're doing. And that goes for right now. That's not just for later. Oh, when I get my course finished, when I get my degree, that will be... No, now. There aren't any accidents with where you are. There's no coincidences where you are working right now. You are called to be in the place where you were, where you are now. You put your hand to that place and you give it all you've got. Because we need Christians in every area. I want to say this to you. The small L liberals, if I can put it that way, with their vastly different agendas from that of Christianity, have got themselves into positions of influence in radio, in television, in politics. You know what? We need Christians in those places. We need people to influence in those places. And you need to have someone in your life who will help you navigate through, who will help you to be that influence in the place that God has put you. Amen? All right. You know, you need someone who will strengthen your strengths. Now, it's very easy to focus on weaknesses and say, oh, look, you're not really strong in these areas. So I'm seeing a few weaknesses. Let's focus on them. Do you know what? That's not wrong. That's not wrong because sometimes we do need to build up our weaknesses. But if God has given you strengths, if God has given you giftings, you need to have a mentor who will strengthen your strengths. Does that make sense? Because you're strengthening the things that God has put in your hand, the gifts that he has put into you, yourself, so that they become even more strong, so that they can become something that can use so powerfully for the kingdom of God. So yes, guys, we do sometimes need to work on weaknesses, but don't ever do that without working on your strengths. I'm seeing more and more the older I get, I got a revelation about a decade ago that we need to work on strengths and strengthen the strengths, okay? You need someone who'll give you positive appraisal and advice as needed. You know, you need someone who will be positive with you, but also give you good, positive wisdom about areas in which there may need to be changed. And you need to allow them to do that. It's never going to work. It's never going to work if you don't allow them to do it. So as well as wanting them to do it in theory, you've got to want them to do it in practice and allow them to speak to you about things that really will make a difference to you. Need someone who will regularly pray for you and regularly pray with you. So, how do you approach them? Okay, pray about it. Ask God to show you. He might show you someone you haven't even thought of. Don't know. Be open. Be open. Approach them and ask them. And look, don't feel upset if it doesn't work out, okay? It's probably absolutely nothing to do with you. It may be an issue of time with them. They're already mentoring as many as they can handle. There may be family issues that they have. There could be all sorts of things. So don't get stressed out if it doesn't work out. But meet together for a coffee and talk and see if you think it might work out, all right? And remember, it's your responsibility to initiate meetings. It's not actually the mentor's responsibility to initiate meeting with you. You need to contact your mentor and make a time and say, can we meet? I want to get together with you. In fact, it's always a great idea that when you meet together, you make the, you know, you put your both diary in the next meeting. That often works really well too. But, you know, it's not just the mentor's responsibility to make this happen. It is the mentee's responsibility. Okay, how to have that great relationship. Oh, my goodness. Da-da! Be prepared to learn. You know, just like be a learner. Just trying to impress the mentor can set up a barrier and it can prevent you from receiving all that he or she has to give you, okay? It's like you don't have to prove anything to your mentor. It's just be a learner. Clarify your level expectations. Look, let's keep in mind when you have a goal with your mentor, it's to improve, not to reach some impossible standard in 3 months' time, okay? It's like, yeah, my goal is to grow. And ask the right questions. Now, this is a really strategic one. In fact, if you don't take in anything else of these ones, remember this one. Ask the right questions. Think about what they'll be. Think about it before you meet. Part of the quality of your life is determined by the kind of questions you ask. You know, we've just been to India, November. And here is a country, and in the Hindu culture, it is really wrong to ask questions of adults. Would you believe it? This is true. I had been wondering for a few years over different bubble. Like, we're in a small group. I asked them, are there any questions? Nobody asked me a question. Why? I found out that they won't ask questions because often, as children, they've been beaten by their teachers for asking or even by their parents. I could hardly believe it. When I really dug deep and found out about this, rang a woman in Sydney who'd taught there for 20 years, did all sorts of things to find out more. I actually did a Bible study with the Bible College students on questions. Well, we had more questions than we'd ever had, didn't we? Yeah, it was good. But, you know, can we just go back to that one? One back again. Yeah. The kind of questions you ask will determine the quality of your life. You ask good questions, you get good answers. Wow, the sky's the limit. So think about questions you want to ask. Next one, thanks. Proverbs 25 says, counsel in the heart of man is like a deep well, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Everyone has a reservoir of knowledge, skills and experience to share, and a wise person will draw them out. And that's what I want of a mentor for you, that what you have in you, and you all have so much in you already, and that can be drawn out and you can be helped to grow in God. So asking questions, like these are just some quick examples that you could ask. How do you handle stress? What have been the greatest successes in your life? What are the causes of it? What were the greatest failures in your life? What would you do differently if you were doing life over? What kind of books do you read? How do you manage your time? How do you manage your money? What have been the greatest lessons you've learned? What have been the greatest surprises in your life? Okay. You know, think about what questions you'd like to ask. You'll be amazed what you get out of that from your mentor by asking the right questions. In fact, your mentor might say, oh, will you give me a week to think about that, please? That's okay too. That's okay too. But, you know, out of your mentor, you know, it's up to you to get the best out of your mentor. A mentor doesn't just want to be spouting stuff to you all the time. You need to be digging for it, okay? And you'll do better in the digging. All right, and for you, well, what do we suggest? You know, whatever your mentor suggests, what about just giving it a go? Not immediately thinking of reasons why you can't. Give it a go. Be prepared to try things straight away. If your mentor thinks you can do it, hey, you probably can. He or she wouldn't be suggesting it otherwise. Be disciplined. You know, get a next meeting in the diary the previous time you meet. It keeps them consistently happening. Respect the mentor, but don't idolize him or her. Jesus, God, they are the ones we worship. He is the one we worship. Respect your mentor, but don't idolize, okay? Respect allows us to accept, back please. Respect allows us to accept what the mentor is teaching. Making the mentor an idol removes the ability to be objective and critical about it. We need that for adapting a mentor's knowledge and experiences to ourselves, because they will not be exactly the same. We learn through our mentor. Reward your mentor with your own progress. Hey, look, do you know what? That's the greatest reward a mentor can get, is seeing your progress. Seeing you growing spiritually. Seeing you grow in what God's given in your hand in this season of your life. It's so exciting to see your growth. Your progress is his or her highest reward, absolutely. Communicate it. It's okay to say to your mentor, hey, guess what happened? I did it. You know, you can tell your mentor. Don't threaten to give up. Don't blackmail your mentor. Let your mentor know that you've made a decision for progress, that you're going to be persistent, that you're determined. Then your mentor will know that you're not wasting their time. It's like you're there. There's no substitute for your personal growth. You need to grow so that you can give out and mentor others. So what is a mentor looking in you? Your mentor is looking for a teachable spirit, for eagerness and willingness to learn, for humility, integrity, reliability. We could preach on each one of these words, couldn't we, for 5 minutes ago? They're looking for a sense of commitment. If you're continually breaking meetings, it doesn't give him or her a good feeling about this mentoring relationship. Yes, I know things can come up, but if it continually happens, then you're not making mentoring, your mentoring relationship, a priority. They want to see you desire to grow spiritually and personally, and that you're able to honestly admit that you've made a mistake and work out what you've got to change. A sense of seeing you grow in responsibility and the ability to reflect, the ability to think back, the ability to think over. Actually, when I met Pastor Bruce, his favourite saying was, "You got to reflect." It was. That was quite a few years ago, guys, but that's okay. Very many. I'm not saying. But you know, that ability to think over, to think about, to think back on, to reflect is really important in the process of transformation. You know, you will feel loved and cared for and supported in a mentoring relationship. That's what should happen. Feeling loved, feeling supported, feeling cared for. You should gain a lot, gain knowledge, gain information, gain wisdom, ministry experience, encouragement, hope, confidence. Getting advice on how to live a holy life, how to live a pure life. You know, our goal is to become the men and women God wants us to be. And God wants us to be his holy people. And that's just not, you know, that's not a corporate thing, guys. That's an individual thing. A mentor, if you are honest and upfront with your mentor, he or she will help you grow in living in purity and in holiness. And that is part of the Christian life. You know, Jesus was our prime mentoring model. He had 12 men, 12 disciples who he mentored for 3 years. And they became amazing men. What a great mentor he is. But, you know, that's what we want to become. You know, Paul was a great mentor of Timothy. And his mentoring was very relational. He just related to Timothy. He talked to them. He gave time for him. But, you know, it was also very practical. Often I think today we depend a lot on theory and stuff and books. It's like, hey, we've got to be practical. Doing stuff, that's how we learn. That's how the disciples learned. That's how Paul mentored Timothy. And, you know, that can be risky, but it's the way to go. It's like, but Paul was a great encourager. You know, every time I read one of Paul's letters, I think what an amazing mentor this great apostle was. Yeah, he was straight down the line. He'd tell you how it is. But when you read his whole letters, you know, just read some of them, particularly some of the shorter ones, and you'll see what I mean if you just sit and read them in one go. His love and encouragement at the beginning and end of every one of his letters is just, I sort of wallow in it as I read it, and I read it over a few times because I just think, oh, what a wonderful encourager. I think, oh, Lord, I want to be like that. I want to be an encourager. But Paul gave us a wonderful encouragement, as well as being a very straight shooter when he needed to be, believe me. But, you know, okay, to grow is a decision. It takes time. Are you prepared to give the time? Are you prepared to give the time? It takes energy. It takes commitment. Now, for many of you here, as well as being under a mentor, you need to be mentoring somebody else because you've got much to give. Sunday school teachers do it all the time with their little children in their classes. They're mentoring. That's really important. But, you know, having a mentor is a great way to grow. It's only one of the ways to grow, but it's really biblical. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It should be. It should be a lot of fun. There should be a lot of laughs. But, you know, it's so good because you have the love and encouragement of another person who's helping you grow in God. I just encourage you, find yourself a mentor. Okay? Let's pray. Let's stand.